I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Gospel passage comes at the end of a long section where Jesus is forming his disciples. It all begins in chapter 7 of Mark's Gospel with the healing of a man who is deaf and dumb. By his being healed, he is being taught how to hear and speak, necessary abilities of the Christian disciple, to hear and understand the word of God, and to share the message with others. Later in chapter 8, there is the two-stage healing of a blind man. That story clearly symbolizes the gradual opening of the disciples' eyes as to the true identity and mission of Jesus. And the whole section ends here, with the healing of another blind man, Bartimaeus, of which we just heard. Bartimaeus is a poor, blind beggar, who, having been told that Jesus is passing by, begins to call out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But the people around him tell him to shut up, be quiet. He shouldn't be disturbing an important person like Jesus. But Bartimaeus won't be put off easily. He continues to call out even more loudly. And Jesus stops as he hears. And he responds to his needs. And that made me question how often in our lives have we blocked the way of someone wanting to approach Jesus because we may have felt that they weren't important enough to call out to Christ. How many times during our day does Jesus pass by and we fail to recognize him or to call out to him? Perhaps we have fixed ideas where we are likely to see him or the forms under which he will appear. Well, I'm glad to say, he can come in any form, in any person, and in any situation. Even the most unlikely. There may be people waiting to hear Jesus' call through us. So how do we share our faith? How do we proclaim the good news to all whom we meet? How do we respond to human need by loving service? I'd like this morning just to focus mainly on one verse that we heard in the Gospel of Mark that may give us the answer. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." One of the great verses in Scripture. In the first half of that verse, Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve. And that's the theme of the first 10 chapters of Mark's Gospel. Jesus' gracious work as the servant of humankind. And throughout those chapters, we find the stories of the wonderful ways Jesus served people and met their needs, just like Bartimaeus. Whilst a small verse, it's big on important theology. Some have called this verse one of the most precious statements of our Lord to the whole of the Christian church. Why? Because it's about the greatness of humility and the greatness of service. Humility is a virtue that God honors. He gives grace to the humble. If we want to be great in his kingdom, then we need to humble ourselves to become the servant that Jesus was and still is. In the New Testament, we are told to put on humility, to be clothed with humility, and to walk in humility. And in our first reading from Romans, Paul is telling his audience not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may discern God's will. And then he goes on to list the marks of a true Christian. In our Gospel reading, Jesus, it seems, is having a bit of a difficult time getting such a lesson across to his disciples. Remember, they are common men, Almighty. They have worked all their lives. They are skilled labourers, being at the lower end of the social strata. But now they've been drawn into this intimacy with Christ. They begin to know who he is. They understand the kingdom that he's preaching about. But instead of this developing humility in them, it seems to have fed their inordinate remaining pride. Even though Jesus said to them a principle that they should well have understood previously in verse 31, many who are first will be last, and the last first. They still perceive themselves as superior to each other. And Peter Blessing even expresses the same attitude later on in chapter 10 of Mark's Gospel, when he says to Jesus, "We left everything and followed you. What's in it for us?" And so we read in verse 41 that the other disciples were angry with James and John. But that's not because their motivations were any different or purer than them, but because they thought they might have been picked at the post for the seats in glory, and that they would be missing out for themselves. So when we read Jesus' words by way of response, he is actually being gentle with them and using this opportunity to teach them what is important in the kingdom of God. A lesson they needed to learn, and a lesson we need to be constantly reminded of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. To totally submit ourselves to the will of God, and to follow without seeking any reward. The true life of Christian discipleship is hallmarked by serving others. No matter what Jesus had said up to this point, it doesn't seem to have penetrated even the best of them. To follow Christ in service, we have to consider everybody to be a person to be served. And when being a servant, we have to say no to the ways of the world. And so as a disciple of Christ, not only do we have the opportunity to serve, but we have the obligation to serve. And that is why the third mark of mission is to respond to human need by loving service. In verse 43, Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to become great among you, you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." Now this is, of course, a completely countercultural idea as much today as it was over 2,000 years ago. There is a contradiction in terms in verse 42, where Jesus says that the Gentile rulers lord it over us. But in the kingdom of God, we lord it under. And what I mean by that is that lordship and authority are shown through servanthood, not through claiming power over people. If we want to be faithful Christians, then we too must constantly seek ways to serve others and to put others' needs above our own at all times. And that's not saying that we need to be a doormat, but we do need to respond to people's needs in loving service. That is the way of Christ. Martin Luther King once wrote, "Life's most urgent question is this: what are you doing for others?" Being a follower of Jesus is not about reaping rich rewards. As Jesus tells us, his meaning of real greatness is in service and the care of others. And Christian discipleship is genuine when it's expressed in service. But as we know, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So how are we of service to others? Well, we are to try to find ways to be the servant of all, and not of a particular type or kind, rather than trying to become an authority figure over them. This is part of our mission. That is the way of Christ. There is a church because there is mission and not the other way around. Our God is a God of mission, calling people to an allegiance with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God commissions his church to mission in partnership with him. Therefore, mission is not an option for us. It is the lifeblood of a church, and without it, the church is on the road to nowhere. Our proclamation of the good news is empty without action. We may be able to talk the talk, but I wonder, are we walking the walk? Jesus' actions to heal and to help the hopeless, freeing them from alienation and sin, embodying God's forgiveness and love, are evident throughout the Gospels. And to respond to human need means the need of any human being, not just those of our own community. As the parable of the sheep and the goats remind us, Christ is present in every person in need. But he said, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Any mission that is going to be effective will build relationships and work towards making disciples. But it is our loving service that will help to authenticate us as Christ's disciples as we respond to people's needs, living out that commandment to love one another. And so our hope is that God will use us to demonstrate that Christianity is about love, so connecting people with God. People are not necessarily saying there is no God, but they are saying, show me your God. They want to know that God cares and can help them. So how are we to live up to this challenge? Well, one simple way is to listen to people and their story. Offer to pray into their situation. And believe you me, this can lead them very gently to Jesus. So through our actions of responding to human needs by loving service, may they experience God and know that he is loving and love. For to him be all glory and honour. Amen.
Amen.